Good to be with you again this morning. Please turn back to Psalm 19. Psalm 19 on page 541. That'd be good. And let's pray together. Father, your word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And so we plead with you this morning, Father, please to penetrate our hearts deeply. Would you feed our minds, feed our souls, feed our hearts? Father, please, by your Spirit and through your word, would you reveal yourself to us and make us more like your Son? And I ask that for Jesus' sake. Amen. You ever thought about how silly our world is? There are millions and millions of people sitting on a little planet amongst many planets, spinning. I mean, we don't really get on with each other, and we haven't been to many parts of the world, and so we just live day by day, just spinning. Of course, as long as we've got food in our stomachs and a roof over our head and money in our pockets, we don't mind just sitting here spinning, do we? But some people, they won't put up with endless spinning. They want answers. So why are we here? And is there a God? If there is a God, what's he like? We call them thinkers or philosophers, those wise people who sit and they think and they speculate. Why are we spinning, they say. And after hours and hours and years of speculating, they come up with this thing like, well, we like to think this is why we're here. Of course, you don't need to speculate, do we? We could just listen to God and let him tell us why we're here and why we're spinning. It's called revelation. God speaking to us. Let me give you an example. Imagine that you're walking through a field and you found this. And you could say, it could be a bomb. If I press this button here and throw it over there, I can blow up my school. It's good speculation, isn't it? But it's wrong. Or you could say, maybe this dropped out of a flying saucer. Maybe it's a Martian dictionary. And if I press a few buttons, I can learn to speak Martian. It's a good speculation, but it's wrong. And along walks a little boy in a field and says, thank you. You found my calculator. Let me show you how it works. You tap in some buttons and it does sums for you. You see, you're not speculating anymore, are you? Someone has come to you and told you what it is and what it does. And Psalm 19 tells us that we don't need to speculate about who God is or who we are and what God is like or what he does, because Psalm 19 tells us that God has spoken to us. God has revealed himself to us. Our question this morning is there a global voice? Is there a global voice? And I could just say yes and sit down. Is there a global voice? Of course there's a global voice, because God has spoken to us. But he's spoken to us in two ways. The first way is this. God speaks partially through his world. God speaks partially through his world. Look with me down at verses 1 and 2. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. This is Hebrew poetry, so the second half of each verse re-emphasizes the first. The heavens are the skies. The work of God's hands declare his glory. Creation, it says, is revealing the glory of God. Verse 2, day after day, they pour forth speech. They speak to us. Night after night, they display knowledge. Daytime, nighttime, every day, all day, wherever you are in the world, the psalmist says, God is speaking. The creation is shouting out, is proclaiming, there is a God. He's the creator God. See, we say things like this. We say, well, red sky at night, shepherd's delight. Red sky in the morning, shepherd's warning, or something like that. and we look intently at the skies. We listen to meteorologists saying, what's the weather going to be like? And the psalmist is saying, stop looking at the skies just for the weather. Look to the skies and see the glory of God. Let's push our imaginations. There are something like 15 million galaxies in space. And we are one part of one tiny, tiny galaxy. And on the clearest day in the outback skies, if you looked up, you could see maybe 2,500 stars with your eye. That is 0.0000000001% of everything that God has made. And the psalmist is saying here, as we look to the skies, we shall be blown away by the power of God. The God who creates from nothing. The God who made everything, who displays his glory through his creation. Verse 2 says, like a fountain erupts and spews out water. So creation pours forth speech. It's God's voice to his world. Notice the language in verse 3 is verbal, isn't it? God is speaking. God has a voice. There's no speech or language where creation's voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. I wonder whether you've ever been to a concert where a composer has been asked to write a new piece of work to reveal his personality or his life story. I've had that misfortune. Back in 1995 at the Royal Albert Hall, I spent 20 minutes listening to utter discordant noise. And it didn't take me long to work out what this guy was like or what his personality was like. Same with artists, isn't it? And artists express themselves through their paintings. So as Picasso became more and more depressed, his art became more and more abstract. And the psalmist is saying that creation is God's artwork, God's masterpiece, if you want. It's God's painting. And he's saying, look, I'm here. I am the glorious creator God. If people say to you, there's no evidence that God exists, you say, look to the skies. Look at the sun, look at creation, stroll down the beach. I admit we can't know everything about God from creation, but he is speaking to us, saying, I'm there, I'm powerful, I'm the creator. I created from nothing. The thing about creation, friends, is that you can't avoid creation, can you? You can always see creation. No matter where you are in the world, you can see creation. That's why verse 4 says, their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. And when we look at the sky, what dominates the sky when we look up? It's the sun, isn't it? The sun's always there. That's why the psalmist says, in the heavens God has pitched a tent for his son, like a bridegroom waiting for his bride. Verse 6, the sun rises at one end of the heavens, makes its circuit to the other, and then sets. Sun rises in one place, and during the day it casts its heat over the whole earth. It's a universal sun. So he says in verse 6, nothing is hidden from its heat. He's saying wherever you are in the world, you can see the sun. Take yourself to the furthest outback place you can think of, where there's no birds and no fish and no trees, and look up, you can still see the sun. Even on a cloudy day, when you think you can't see it, you can still feel the effects, can't you? See, no one can miss the sun. No one can miss creation. And the psalmist is saying that God is revealing himself through his creation. No one can miss him. So a classic question people ask is, what about those people who've never heard about Jesus? It's funny, no one really asks, what about those people who've never heard about God? Because they can't ask that question. Because everyone's heard about God, because God speaks, God's voice is through his creation. I don't know whether anyone's ever told you this information. Let's imagine that someone says to you, okay, this business deal is coming through in 2 hours' time. Or someone says to you, we're going to celebrate Dallas Kirkwood's 80th birthday at morning tea this morning. Now you know that information. You've been told it. Now you can choose to suppress it, ignore it, I didn't know the deal was coming through. Yes, you did. I didn't know it was Dallas's birthday. Yes, you did. I didn't know God exists. Yes, you did. Because I spoke to you through my creation. Just flick over to Romans chapter 1. It's on page 1112. Romans chapter 1. And verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, they've been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Every person, every generation is given some knowledge of God, verse 19. What may be known about God, there's things we can't know, but what may be known has been made plain. How, verse 20? Through creation. It's through creation that God's alwaysness, God's godness, God's power, God's divine nature has been made known. See, Paul is saying that the God who in himself is unknowable and invisible has chosen to make himself knowable and chosen to make himself visible. See, ever since creation, the world, if you want, has borne the imprints of God's handwork. Verse 20, so men are without excuse. We can't claim ignorance. We can't claim to be in the dark. No, we suppress the truth. Have you got the point? God's voice, God has spoken through his creation, through his world. There is no excuse. No one can say, I never knew you were there, God. Daily we experience his wisdom and his power. We look at the bush and we walk along the beach and we feel the sun on our back or the rain on our hair or the sand through our toes. You look up at the moon or you stare at the stars in the outer space and you're supposed to think, wow, this is the God who made this world and who made me. God's voice is heard through his creation. Friends, if you're here this morning and you're still ignoring God, you're on very, very dangerous ground. Please don't think you can rock up to God on the last day and say, I never knew you existed. He'll say, do you not live in my world? Do you not wake up each day and see the stars? Now, God speaks partially through his creation. But creation is limited, isn't it? He tells us so much. So we can look at creation and we can think, well, God is so vast and God is all-powerful. He's remote. He's unapproachable. Well, just as the sun dominates the sky and gives us light and gives us physical life. So the psalmist goes on to say, actually, that God's word gives us true light and spiritual life. So yes, God does speak partially through his world, but he speaks perfectly through his word. God speaks perfectly through his word. Flick back to Psalm 19, page 541. Now look at the nouns that David uses to describe God's word in Psalm 19, verses 7 to 9. Verse 7, the law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord. Verse 8, the precepts of the Lord, the commands of the Lord. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord, the ordinances of the Lord. The psalmist is saying the law, the commandments, the covenants, the authoritative words, the judgments, all these things come together to make up the word of God. It's a bit like when you go to IKEA and you thought you were buying a dining room table and you get this flat pack and you've got all these little bits. And hopefully once you put all those bits together, you've got a dining room table. And it's saying here that the word of God, the Bible, is made up of statutes and commands and laws and rules and revelations, but it's all God speaking. And together, the whole thing, the Bible, makes up God's authoritative voice. So the Bible is still the best-selling book in the world. But it gets such a bad press, doesn't it? Even as Christians, we often approach the Bible with lackluster negative attitude. We see God's commands as a bit of a killjoy. His judgment is a bit of embarrassment. Look how the psalmist describes the word of God. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. It's flawless. There's no imperfections. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. They're firm. They're sure. They're certain. Verse 8. The precepts of the Lord they're light. They are morally right. They're straight down the line. They may not be PC. They may not be trendy, but they are right. Verse 8 again. The commands of the Lord are radiant. They're like a pure, bright light to your eyes. Verse 9. The fear of the Lord is pure. It's clean. The orders of the Lord, they're sure. They're dependable. They are true, like a rock that can't be shaken, or a friend, a trusted friend who will not let you down. Friends, that's the word of God. See how the psalmist looks at the word of God. Look, hears God speaking and says, this is wonderful. It's not negative, it's positive. You see, in an ever-changing world, God's voice is unchanging. In a world where friends let us down and we lack trust, the word of God is trustworthy. And it's through this perfect, flawless, trustworthy, radiant word that God's voice is heard. Now, why does God speak? Why does God speak to us through his word? Just so we can fill our minds with knowledge? Just so we can get a bachelor of theology? Look at verse 7 again. What does this word do? The law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. Have you ever reached that mid-afternoon and you've missed lunch and you're flagging and you grab that block of chocolate or you grab your chicken and avocado sandwich? How good is that? It revives you. Well, the word of God, it reinvigorates. It brings us to life, if you want. It feeds our very inner being, our core, our soul. And it makes wise the simple, verse 7. It makes us wise as to what God is like and how he wants us to behave. Verse 8, it gives joy to our hearts, confidence, a contentment in who we are in Christ. And verse 8, it gives light to our eyes. It's like a light going on in a dark room. Ever had one of those aha moments? Those aha moments where everything is suddenly clear. The confusion is gone. You can see. And he says, but the word of God, when God speaks to you, when he reveals himself, you say, aha, yeah, I see. That's what you're like. That's why I'm like this. Or verse 9, it endures forever. It doesn't have a shelf life. Or verse 9 again, it's altogether righteous, like the author himself. Friends, this is God's voice. God's word is his voice, and it's precious. I wonder if someone said to you this morning, what do you want in life? What's your ambition for the next year? I'm guessing for a lot of us, money is up there. We want to earn more and more and more money. And yet the psalmist says in verse 10 that the words of God, the voice of God, is more precious than gold. They're much pure gold. And it's sweeter than honey from the comb. You ever seen a child who tastes honey for the very first time? And as that sweet-smelling, gooey liquid touches their lips, the smile goes across their face, and their eyes pop out. It's so sweet, it's beautiful. And the psalmist is saying God's word is like that. Sure, if you come to it bitter, if you come to it thinking this is going to be dull and boring, it will be. But come to it saying, feed me, nourish me. I want to know you, God. So our question this morning is really a very simple question. Is there a global voice? Of course there is. Because God has revealed himself through the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3 says, all scripture is God-breathed. It's God speaking. And if God has spoken, that's not limited by time or by space, is it? If God has chosen to reveal himself through his word, that's not limited by which country you live in or which generation you were born in. This is God's word for all people, of all generations, of all time, of all nations. See, please don't condemn the Bible as being culturally bound or out of date or stuck in the first century. This is the eternal God speaking. his unchanging word. Please don't put your own reasons up there with the Bible saying, I like to think it's like this. Not like that. The Bible's always right. Please don't hold your traditions up there with the Bible. The Bible is always right. And please don't say, well, it feels right to me. My experience tells me that's how I should live. No, no, don't listen to experience. Listen to the Bible. This is God's spoken, audible word. As 2 Peter says, we've heard what the angels long to hear. And we've got it written down in our own language. See, creation is very powerful. We look at creation, we're supposed to think, wow, there is a great God. But as you read the word of God, it brings you into a relationship with God. See, just look back at Psalm 19 again and spot the difference between verse 1 and verse 7. What's the word used for God in verse 1? The heavens declare the glory of God. Just the Creator, the Almighty, the all-powerful God. But when you come to the word of God in verse 7, what's the word used for God in verse 7? The law of the Lord, Yahweh, my personal God, my rock, my Redeemer. You see, through creation we can say, yes, there is an all-powerful God, but through the word of God we can come into that personal relationship with God and call him Lord. Maybe you're not a Christian here today. This is God speaking. You've got God's own voice in your own language. Will you read it? Will you say, please God, speak to me, show me what you're like? But what about us who are Christians here this morning? In his book, Killing Fields, Living Fields, which tells of the persecution of Christians in Cambodia, Christians there are imprisoned, they are tortured, they are starving. Now, what do those people crave for more than any other thing? Read the book. They don't crave for food. They don't crave for release. They don't even crave for freedom from torture. What they really crave for is the word of God. They say this, we got a copy of Luke's gospel and we divided it and we shared it around and we devoured it and we memorized it. How sweet was that word to our lips? It's like Corrie ten Boom in the concentration camps. What does she desire more than anything else? To have God's word. So let me ask you a few questions about your attitude towards God's voice, God's word this morning. Do you trust and accept that the Bible is God's voice, God's blueprint? And if so, how important is the Bible in your life? Do you have lots of copies of it sitting on yourself, collecting dust, unread? Do you read it regularly, longing to hear God speak, to taste the goodness? Do you delight in the whole of the scriptures? Not just choosing little bits to read, but the whole of the scriptures. Do you approach it like a simpleton, but leave wise? Do you approach it blind almost, but leave having light given to your eyes? And do you still devour it and delight in it after 1 year as a Christian, or 5 years, or 20 years, or 70 years as a Christian? Do we come saying, please feed me, give me light, nourish me, nurture me? See, my fear is that people are just not reading our Bibles. Yeah, we have them, and we talk about them, and we quote bits of the Bible, but we're just not reading it. And we read lots of other stuff, but we don't put aside time to hear God speak, to have God's voice in our own homes, in our own hand. Is it any surprising that we remain infants? We remain starved and parched? Is it any surprising that there's no revival, there's no wisdom, there's no joy? Because we're not allowing God to speak through his word. It's tough, isn't it? I fail and you fail. It's hard to read the Bible. Here's a little challenge for you. This week, 10 minutes per day. Just 10 minutes per day. Opening up the word of God, letting God's voice speak to your heart. Or come to church next week, having read the passage, eager to hear God's voice. Let's make the most of all the privilege we have to hear God speak. As I close, we're not bibliolaters, are we? We don't worship a book. We actually worship the person that this book speaks about. As you open the page of scriptures, as the psalmist says, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. How can we call God my rock? How can we call God my redeemer? Only because of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we open the Bible, we see Jesus. We see Jesus in all his glory. Now, the God of the Bible, the God who has spoken, he longs for all people to be saved. He longs for all people to call him my rock and my redeemer. How are they going to hear? That's Romans 10, isn't it? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they hear? How can they hear? I want to praise God. I want to praise God for the men and women who translated the word of God into so many different languages. But you know, there's still a language in the world today where God's word is not available in their own language. Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you could be that translator. Learn a language. Translate the very living words of God into a new language so that people in that country can say, my Lord, my rock, my redeemer. If this is God's voice, we need people to translate. If this is God's global voice, we need people to take, don't we? To take this word of God to other countries. Maybe you can't take, maybe you can't translate, but you can support. Support the work of Gideon's. Support the work of Bible translation. See, from the deepest, darkest corner of the world to the centre of the most thriving city, God's heart's desire is that all people hear the name of the Lord and are saved. And he's spoken. Here we are. Let's translate it. Let's take it. Let's give it. I wonder how many people yesterday queued up to buy Harry Potter. Thousands and thousands and thousands of kids. What's the best book you can give those kids? It's this, the Bible. Because they won't just read it once. They'll read it time and time and time again and hear God's voice speak to them through his word. Is there a global voice? Of course there is. God's spoken partially through his world, but he's spoken perfectly through his word. Our God is shouting at us. He's screaming at us. He's saying, hello, I'm here. And I want you to know me. The question for you today and for me today is, are we listening? Are we listening to his voice? Let's have a moment's silence, just to bring before God things he's challenged us by. Maybe thank him for his creation, thank him for his word, thank him for Bible translators, thank him for missionaries. Pray for yourself. So a moment's silence, and then Andre will come and lead us in prayer.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you're a God who doesn't keep yourself hidden. You've always sought to make yourself known to people, and we have so much that shows you to be the powerful and sovereign God and Maker. Especially we have your word that speaks of your Son Jesus, who lived amongst us, taught and died for us. We thank you that in Jesus your character is most clear to us. Father, we thank you that though we're so slow to believe in your Son, though we so easily miss the clear evidence that you're real and powerful and that we are accountable to you, we thank you that you've enabled us to see and believe in him. Thank you that you brought your word to us and powerfully changed us through it. We pray that you would make us humble, teachable people who remain thirsty for your word, coming to it regularly to be fed by you. And please keep transforming us by it. We thank you too that it's your work to convict people of their need for Jesus. Thank you that in our attempts to present news of him to our community, we're not alone, but that your Spirit takes your word and makes it effective in a way that normal words are not. We pray for those amongst us with non-Christian family members. Thank you that you know each of these people intimately and you know the things that are barriers to them believing. Please soften them and continue to graciously give them opportunities to hear your word. And we pray that you'd make them like soil that receives that word as it is, the truth. And finally, we pray for all amongst us in our daily work, as teachers, in business, IT, doctors, lawyers, those raising children, and all those in other professions. We pray that you would make us willing and effective bearers of the good news that you've given us. Please make us bold and grant us growing concern for the people you've put us in contact with. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.